Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with Repack. Does your business use the three bin system? Learn more about your legal recycling obligations at repack.ie.
In the Green Scene today, rain as a source of renewable energy. But first, the rat who has an amazing talent for sniffing out landmines. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman. I'll take that again. In the Green Scene today, rain as a source of renewable energy. But first, the rat who has an amazing talent for sniffing out landmines. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So tell me about the rats.
I mean, he not only is he a great sniffer, he's a Guinness World Record breaker. And the rat in question is Ronan the Rat. And he's not the kind of rat that you and I might have encountered down on the seafront in Dublin. He's a giant African pouched rat. And he works for an organisation called Apopo, which is a Belgian charity. And they have trained Ronan to sniff out lots of things, but particularly landmines. And the world record that he now holds is he is the rat who has detected the most landmines. So between August 2021 and February 2025, he successfully located all of the landmines, which was over 109 landmines, in a particular area of Cambodia. And not only that, he found the landmines, but he also found other unexploded artillery like mortars and grenades. So he's doing great work to keep Cambodia safe.
Why is the rat so ideal for this? Because we've got sniffer dogs for landmines.
We do, but actually the charity Apopo, it was set up by a Belgian researcher who was working with these rats and had identified through his research that they really had this excellent ability to pick up smells. And of course, these rats can get quite large. Imagine sort of the size of a very large cat, but with coarse hair and a narrow foxy, ratty-like face. But they can wear a little harness. They wear a little harness when they go out in the field. They walk ahead of their trainer, but they're light enough that they don't explode the landmine. So that's very important.
So they can walk on a landmine and it won't
explode. It won't explode. So even though they can be, they're quite big, 2 to 3 feet long, they still won't explode the landmine. But of course, they're incredibly versatile. We all know rats can go into all sorts of areas. You know, they're very mobile creatures and they're very trainable. They're very intelligent. So as well as they call them hero rats. And these hero rats, they're doing work in over 80 countries throughout the world detecting landmines. And obviously, we all know Cambodia just has that long history. It's the most landmines of any country in the world. But now they're also being trained to detect other things. So one thing is things like wildlife artifacts. So if there's wildlife like pangolin scales or, you know, being smuggled, elephant ivory, they can also detect that. And now in some countries in Africa, they're also been trained to pick up TB. So they're actually being exposed to lab samples where people have spat into a tube and then they're very good at picking up TB. And at the moment, in many African countries, you know, they don't have resources to do TB testing quickly. So these rats really are doing incredible work. So it's great to celebrate them.
And how difficult to train, I wonder, or how do they train them?
Well, they train them using kind of reward systems, as most animals are trained, but they seem to be very easy to train. And, you know, the previous rat that held the record, his name was Magawa, and he had cleared landmines from more than 2.4 million square feet of land. And he died in January 2022. He was 8. Ronan, I think, is only 5. So he has several years left of clearing landmines in Cambodia. And as I said, this charity is finding this is a really cheap and effective way to make the land safer and also potentially to pick up on these other things that can be found with smell.
I'll never think about rats in the same way again after hearing this particular story. Anyway, that's a very good news story. Another good news story is about water as a source of renewable energy. Now, how does that work?
Yeah, and when we think of water as renewable energy, we usually think of hydroelectric energy where we use dams and use the water power to turn turbines. But this is new research from the University of Singapore, and it's thinking about single drops of water. And of course, when a drop of rain falls from the sky, it has energy from the gravity that's falling. There's kinetic energy there. And it's not the first time researchers have looked at this, because it's this idea that as that raindrop might hit a surface, there's potentially a charge and energy that can be transferred to that surface. And could it be captured to create renewable energy? And back in 2022, researchers in the University of Hong Kong, they created a special surface that was able to pick up some energy from raindrops as they fell. And they actually caught quite a significant amount of energy, enough to power momentarily 100 LEDs. But that was kind of a very jolt-based process. So every time a drop hit, you sort of got a pulse of electricity. But these researchers in Singapore have created actually a much simpler setup, which uses water falling into tubes. And these tubes are not tiny. They're about 32 centimetres tall and a couple of millimetres, 2 millimetres wide. And as the rain falls, slight little plugs of air form between the droplets. So it enters the tube, but because of the splash, you get little bits of water. And then as the water droplet goes down, the inside of the tube is a charged surface. So the energy from the water transfers to the surface of the tube. And they can then capture this energy with simple electrodes at either end of the tube. And people are quite excited about this because the simplicity of the system is extreme, but also you get a continuous flow of electricity.
So does it need rain like a monsoon for this to generate any kind of significant energy?
Not at all. It really just requires that drop of energy entering the tubes. And of course, you could store water and then drop it in, you know, through a small hole in the container that you were storing it in. And of course, what this gives you, it's a slightly lower immediate amount of energy, but it gives you that continuous flow. So I think it's that combined with the fact that the system is so simple. And I think because this is kind of an untapped source. I mean, if we've been out in a heavy bout of rain, I mean, you can feel the rain hitting you. It can sometimes even be a bit sore if you're in a very...
You're going to tell me in a moment we're going to be the Saudi Arabia of rain.
I'm definitely not going to say that. But there's certainly, when we think about kind of more localised energy production, I mean, we saw what happened in Spain and Portugal last week. I mean, one of the big issues we have with renewable is their stability on the grid. And also, how do we create energy when the sun doesn't shine or the wind doesn't blow? So anything that we can think about with renewable energy that is low cost and efficient, but can be easily put in place locally, like a solar panel in your house, I think is well worth considering. And I mean, at the moment, this is getting about 10% of the energy out of that falling raindrop. And that's pretty good when it comes to renewable. Yeah,
this is nothing to do with water being a dipole. You know, the way if you have a thin stream of water from a tap and you take your little Bic ballpoint and you rub it in your hair, you generate an electrostatic charge. And as you approach the stream of water, you can get it to deflect.
Yeah, well, it kind of is. As you say, water splits into positive H ions and then negative OH ions. And it is because as the water goes down through the charge, the positive plus ion is more likely to be pulled back into the water drop and the negatively charged ion is more likely to transfer to the wall of the tube. And of course, that's where you get that charge difference that you can extract as energy. But the little gap of air stops the subsequent drop wiping out that charge difference.
Okay.
So the little drop, that little plug of air, is kind of the critical magic in this idea. And like with so many things, it's such a simple idea, but it appears to bring this efficiency that we just didn't have before. And I mean, there are lots of systems to get energy out of things, but the problem is usually they're too inefficient or we need to put
energy. So commercializing all of this before it gets to scale, when?
We don't know. This paper was only just published, but I think the simplicity of the system maybe means this one could move forward more quickly than some other innovations that we hear about.
Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland, thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat.